Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational magazine for women celebrating its 10th year. I'm also the best-selling publisher behind the boutique publishing company InspiredLivingPublishing.com, which is dedicated to giving visionary female entrepreneurs, coaches, and health practitioners a voice and a high-profile media and publishing platform to share their wisdom, enhance their expert status, and bring their brand and message out of the shadows. All of my brands, including this show, are dedicated to inspiring women to live their best lives. So welcome. I am so excited that you're here for today's show. Do you have an inspirational personal development book in your heart? What if you discovered that your writing and your personal development work were connected and that writing could help you discover important truths about yourself and your life and make an impact in the lives of others? That's what writing a powerful book can do, and that's what we're going to be talking about today with one of my dearest friends, Bryna Renee Haynes. Bryna is a word alchemist, the president and founder of The Heart of Writing, the chief editor of my brand and book publishing company, Inspired Living Publishing, and the best-selling author of The Art of Inspiration, an editor's guide to writing powerful, effective, inspirational, and personal development books. Her mission is to empower writers to move through their perceived limitations, harness the power of their authentic voice and message, and create world-changing written works. Since 2010, Bryna has been my right hand. She's been the chief editor at my best-selling book publishing company, Inspired Living Publishing, and has worked with over 200 authors, many who thought they couldn't write, whether that was a story or a book. And as an editor, Bryna has this unique gift and perspective on what she sees as blocks to writing and what she's discovered about the art and practice of writing that can benefit everyone is what we're going to be talking about today. So welcome, Bryna.
It's so great to be here. Thank you, Linda.
Well, you know, you and I have been working closely together for many years. As I just said, not only are you the chief editor at Inspired Living Publishing, but through your own business, The Heart of Writing, you have supported and worked with many individual authors, you know, to publish their personal and spiritual development books. And when you wrote your book, The Art of Inspiration, I loved it because it was from the editor's point of view, right? So there's so much content out there of going, hey, you know, write a book. But it was almost like the way you teach and what you were putting out in the world was from, like, the inside out. Does that make sense? It was...
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was giving this perspective that isn't out there. And what I really love about our work together and as well as our friendship is there is something very special about inspirational books, right, and personal development books. It's a whole different vibe and energy than other books. So what have you found special about working with authors of these types of books versus other kinds of books?
Sure. Well, the real difference I find is that people who write inspirational books have a really huge mission, in some cases a global mission. And so they're not simply writing for the sake of writing. They're not simply writing for their own benefit. But they're writing for the benefit of their readers, the benefit of their clients, the benefit of the community and the world. And so there's just a sort of different soul that comes through in books like that. You can feel in a well-written inspirational book the author's drive to help and create positive change. And it's my job as an editor to help bring that out in books for the clients that I work with.
Oh, I love what you just said. It's written with soul. There's a purpose, there's an intent, there's a passion that is fueling the writing of the book.
Exactly. And that's not to say that that can't be true in other genres. I mean, obviously there are some amazing fiction writers out there who are telling incredible stories that do transform people. But it's a different focus. A focus on story and character is not quite the same as a focus on an end result for the reader. And that's another thing that really makes inspirational books different, is that the purpose of the book is to create a result for the reader. And so when I work with clients to create books like this, that's really our primary focus, is what is the reader getting out of this? What are we trying to create and spark in the people who are reading this? And so it's a very outward-focused type of writing, as opposed to, you know, something that would be more inward-focused, focused on itself as a story, as a character, et cetera.
And that really speaks to, you know, the work that you and I do at Inspired Living Publishing, because all of the books, as you know, you edited, what, 7 best-selling books for me so far, including Dr. Deborah Riebel's, that you also edited, as well as many others that you've edited outside of the realm of Inspired Living Publishing. And one of the things that I notice is a thread through all of those projects is exactly what you just said, Brian. It's these women want to share a story or their wisdom because they want to serve. They have a big picture of, I'm here to serve. If my story can touch and inspire transformation in someone else, then let me share it. And over the years, you've worked with, you know, 200 authors through ILP, as well as your own brand. And you heard, you and I have giggled about this, so many women like, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't write a story. And at the end, when they're done, right, with your support, your guidance, and they are puffing their chests out. Like, I did this. My words are going to make an impact on the lives of others. What do you see is the cause of so many people being fearful about sharing their wisdom, sharing their truth, or their story?
Well, I think there's a number of causes. I think that one of them is a subconscious fear of being visible, of being vulnerable. Bearing your soul on the page is never something that's going to be easy, even for people who have lots of practice at it. And so that's one thing. The other is just a lack of experience with or confidence in their writing. Some people feel very confident speaking on a stage, but very insecure when they put words on a page. When we speak, we have multiple chances to explain ourselves, correct ourselves, choose different words that might be a little bit more, establish a better connection with our listeners, right? So we can modify as we speak in order to engage with our audience or our friends or our family in a way that's appropriate to the moment. But when you're writing, you're putting things down, you only have that one chance to communicate whatever it is that you're trying to say. And so there's a finality to that that can be really scary for some people. Personally, I prefer it because I can actually, you know, go back and hone my words and target them and streamline them and really make sure that my message is clear. And so for me, writing is a more comfortable medium than speaking. But for some people, it is the opposite. So that's another reason that people shy away from writing, is that they don't get a second chance to explain themselves. But, you know, and I think that there are many other reasons that are unique to the writer. It could be a past experience with writing that didn't go well, a past experience with, you know, a publisher or editor that didn't go well. I've actually worked with some clients who had really poor experiences with prior editors and were actually afraid to write because of them, which makes me very sad. You know, anything in the past that triggers that fear of judgment or visibility can contribute to an unease around writing. And I consider it part of my job to help people move through those blocks And when we move through those blocks on the page, we dissolve them in other areas of our life too, which is really fantastic. So a lot of the authors that I've worked with for Inspired Living Publishing's project, and exactly what you were just saying, Linda, where people come in and they're like, I'm not really sure that I can write. And we say, yes, you can, and here's how. And it's really a process of asking people the right questions and allowing the answers to surface in a way that is empowering for them. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, and it's so powerful. And when we come back from break, I want to talk about that more. And we'll be back in a moment with Bryna Renee Haynes of The Heart of Writing.com. Make sure you swing by there and check out her amazing free resource library. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Bryna Renee Haynes. And we're talking about inspiration, writing, getting your authentic message and voice out through the written word, and hopefully that's through a book. So, Bryna, we were just talking about, you know, some of the blocks and reasons that, we'll use the term woman, since most of my listeners are women, that many women that we've come into contact with through our work together hold themselves back from writing. But one of your strongest beliefs, and I think it's why you're so good at what you do, is you really believe that there's an art and practice of writing, and that art and practice can benefit everyone, even those who say, I can't write.
Exactly. I think that we all have innate and natural talents and skills. For some of us, writing is among them. For some of us, it might not be. But we are all capable of learning. And I sort of look at the art and practice of writing as a gigantic arc that is practically infinite. I don't think that anyone would claim that there are perfect writers out there. There are certainly amazing and skilled writers, but perfect, yeah, that's kind of a hard term. So there's really no end to the learning curve, as some of the most masterful authors will say when asked. And so we just enter this learning curve at different points based on our previous experience, our natural sort of inborn skills, and the other skills that we've learned throughout our lives. And so anybody can step onto that learning curve, and anybody can make progress on that learning curve. It's really just a question of knowing how to find the information that serves you, and how to deal with the fears, the emotional blocks, and the frustrations that inevitably come up with any learning process. So, yes, I do truly believe that anyone who wants to write can write. Anyone who wants to write can learn. There are hard skills involved in writing. You know, obviously, you want to have a good grasp of grammar and sentence structure, but that's not necessary to start writing. You can learn that as you go. And part of my job is just to help people, no matter where they step onto that learning curve, to ask the questions that they need to ask, to be guided toward the answers that they need to receive, to keep improving, keep learning, and keep getting their words out in the world.
And it's so empowering for me as a publisher, and I know you must feel this way too, is to see a woman go through the process, right? To say, okay, I'm going to break through the fear and start writing. And to watch the transformation, not just on the page, like you said earlier, but the inner transformation that takes place when they push through those times where it seems like they're struggling, and when they release that story or book to the world. I see the inner transformation that takes place. So I really get what you're talking about, because I've witnessed it time and time again. It's so liberating for that person to have done something that they initially believed they couldn't do.
Absolutely. I think that's true of anything that we undertake. And, you know, for some of the reasons that we discussed earlier in the show, you know, writing can be very triggering for people. And so, but the things that trigger us about writing tend to overlap into other areas of our lives. For a long time, I was very afraid to put my own writing out into the world. Part of the reason I became an editor so many years ago is to actually give myself a platform to learn and explore the skills that I needed to be a better writer. And I didn't actually realize that until about a year ago, and I've been doing this work for over a decade now. But it's really interesting for me, because I entered the learning curve at, you know, whatever point I entered it at, however many years ago, to be able to learn through helping other people, which is a really amazing way to learn. If you want to learn, you teach, right? So when I started editing, I was able to apply everything that I was learning as a writer, but actually see it unfold in other people's writing. And since we all write differently, there were dozens and eventually hundreds of examples of these principles that I was learning that all of a sudden I was actually seeing transform and manifest. So that was just so interesting to me. And that was a big part of my evolution. And being comfortable with putting my writing out there is that, yes, I understand this. I understand it fully. And now I can express it on a larger scale and a bigger platform. And so that was my personal experience. But some of the things that I've experienced with authors that I've worked with have been around big blocks to visibility. And when someone goes through the process of writing a magnificent book, and then they're afraid to show it to anybody, or they're afraid to put it on a bookshelf, or they're afraid to publicize it even once it's published, you know, that speaks to something that's happening internally. And the very process of walking someone through you know, the final steps of book creation, the rewrites and the layout and the publishing, and, you know, you and I do that in tandem, and seeing what happens when that book finally kind of explodes into the world, and what a confidence boost and what a transformational experience that is. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And it's happened to authors in the collaborative books that we've done. I've gotten messages from authors over the years, like just how much the experience has transformed their relationship to writing, but also their relationship to their own visibility, their relationship to their work, and the confidence that they can put behind their work and the way that they speak about their work. And all of that can be transformed simply by writing their truth. It's pretty incredible.
It's so powerful, and I'm glad you touched on that fear of visibility, because, like you said, it carries over into other areas of your life. And because in our circle, the majority of women that we work with are all entrepreneurs, right, in personal and spiritual development, I noticed, too, that until they make this decision to step through the fear about their fear of being visible in the world, it is also holding their business back. So like you said, when they find the courage to put their truth on the page and follow through and write a book, what many of them have described to me over the last, since 2010, was, Linda, I didn't know one of the side benefits would be that by removing the block and fear of being visible, it opened me up to abundance in my business, because they realized they had been hiding in their business too. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was witnessing it happen in our community, everyone playing small. And when you break through that one block, like you said, and just start writing, it's such a healing tool. And it ripples out to every area of your life.
Yes. And especially when you're working on an inspirational book, a personal development book, for people who are writing about their process, about what they teach their clients, about their own healing journey, there's actually an additional layer of benefit. And I see this all the time for people who are writing books about, say, the way that they practice their coaching practice, the way that they work with their clients in their healing practice. And that is, as you write about your process and you write about the work that you're doing and you write about the things that you believe about the work that you're doing, you gain a much deeper level of understanding about your relationship to your work, about the process itself, and about the way that the people you're working with relate to your work. And so the process of writing a book about what you do can actually help you understand what you do. It's pretty amazing.
I think it helps you own your value, right? It's like, because I'm going through this with a new author that just signed with Inspired Living Publishing. As she's writing it, that's exactly what she's doing, Brian. She's writing a book about her process that she uses, because she wants to serve a larger audience than just her private clients. And she realized through the writing is, wow, this is the transformation that I create in the lives of others. It helped her get even clearer, not only on the type of work she's doing, but how she does it and her big why she's doing it. It's almost like it's reignited the passion in her business again.
Yes. Absolutely. And I have to say, I found the same thing when I wrote my book, The Art of Inspiration. I've been working with authors for over 10 years. I had a process, but I'd never written it down. I've never codified it. I've never created worksheets around it. It was always very organic. And I wrote The Art of Inspiration according to the process that I describe in The Art of Inspiration. And I was sort of using the book as a testing ground for this codified process. And it helped me get so much clearer on aspects of what I was teaching that had previously been sort of narrow in scope and really focused on the individual client as opposed to the art and practice of writing as a whole. So I can say from personal experience as well that is true. And so I tell people all the time, if you really want to understand what you do, write a book about it. You need to learn everything about yourself and your work and how you relate to it in order to create that transformational experience for your reader.
And, you know, when I remember when we were discussing The Art of Inspiration, what I loved was the angle at what it was coming from, which I talked about at the beginning of the show, is it was coming from, well, it's actually called The Art of Inspiration in Editor's Guide to Writing Powerful, Effective, Inspirational, and Personal Development Books. And I loved, as you know, that it was written from that take, from the editor's guide, because so many authors, they have a fear of editors, as you've discovered over the years. it's like, I think they believe that an editor means judgment. And I know from our work together that it's just the opposite of that for you. And in your book, you lovingly guide them through the process of writing their book in a way that's non-judgmental. And have you got that feedback from people, too, about how they feel after reading your book or working with you?
I have had so much positive feedback. And actually, the chapter that people most comment on is the chapter on how to ask for and receive feedback. Because feedback doesn't only need to come from an editor. If you are writing a book for the first time, you probably want to check in with your friends and your family and your colleagues and, hey, I've written this about my process. Does this make sense to you? And get feedback. But one of the issues that people have with feedback, and this applies to working with editors as well, is that they don't know what questions to ask. They ask closed questions or leading questions like, did you like my book? Well, what is someone going to say to that? Of course they're going to say yes, but that doesn't tell you anything about where you can expand or improve or streamline. And so one of the things that I did in that chapter was actually give people a lot of sample questions to ask, because if you ask the right questions, you will always find the answers that you need in order to move forward. They might not always be the answers that you like, but there's also a process about just learning to be open to learning what you don't know that you don't know.
And exactly.
Again, we all step onto this learning curve as writers, and so there's always, no matter how much experience we have or how many books we publish, there's always going to be something we don't know.
And it's
just
such,
being open to that is huge.
And that's such an important gift, and I want to talk about more about that chapter and more of your book when we come back from break, and we'll be back in a moment with Bryna Renee Haynes of theheartofwriting.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you a creative coach, author, or speaker who struggles with bright, shiny idea syndrome? Are you wondering how to turn your bright ideas into a profitable business? Traditional business planning doesn't work for most creatives. That's why Dr. Minette Riordan created the Path to Profit Academy, a program designed just for creative women entrepreneurs who are ready to take their business to a new level. No more boring business plans. No more struggling with marketing messaging or wondering where to find clients. Dr. Minette Riordan will show you how to use your creative gifts and talents to design the perfect business model just for you. Are you ready to take the next step building your business? Learn more at PathToProfitAcademy.com.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. This is Linda Joy, and I am here with Bryna Renee Haynes of theheartofwriting.com. And we were just talking about one of the most popular chapters in her book, The Art of Inspiration, and about getting and asking for constructive feedback. One of the things that I think it was so important is exactly what you just covered, Bryna, is when you ask an open-ended question, that doesn't help create a better book, right? Because they're just going to answer yes or no questions. But by asking the clear questions that you guide them in and give them samples of in your book, that's when we can get the input to make our book better. And like you said, sometimes it's not what we want to hear, but it's what we need to hear.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there's a big difference between asking a question like, did you like my book? And a question like, what did you like about my book? Right?
Big difference.
Because that invites specific. I mean, it's a huge difference. It's just a difference of a few words. But energetically, too, there's a huge difference. Because then you invite your reviewers or your friends or your family or whoever's reading your work to say, yeah, you know, I really liked the way you approached X, Y, and Z. But I feel like I need a little bit more information in this section. And then, wow, you have all of this great information to work with. So the things that seem to really work well for people, you enhance and you repeat. And the things that people have questions on, you can then apply the knowledge to your entire work, not just that specific section. You know, if people's feedback is like, oh, I really wish that you had shared more in this one story, you can then look and say, well, what am I sharing in my other stories, and how can I expand on what I'm sharing so that it connects more deeply with people? So there are so many ways to apply feedback, and that's just a really simple example. And the art of receiving feedback is something that I struggled with for many years. I was definitely very typical teenager and young adult in that I knew everything and no one else could tell me otherwise. And
oh, we've all been there.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I was bad. I was really bad, like worse than most. And part of my path has been learning to assimilate feedback in a way that allows me to grow. And so one of the things that I do is I ask myself, what would it look like if this person is right? And most of the time, that's enough to diffuse my raging ego and and actually open up a possibility. So what would it look like if, you know, my husband is actually right and, you know, this paragraph should be moved? And I actually can look at it objectively and say, yeah, I actually can see that. I think he's right. Or, no, I don't think that's going to work for me, and here's why, and approach it from a logical perspective. And
it's almost like you're stepping outside of yourself.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, because we all get so emotionally attached to our writing. It's our words, it's our soul poured onto the page. It's very easy to get over-attached and emotional and get caught in the feeling of being judged, when in fact someone is just trying to offer helpful feedback. And so a lot of the suggestions that I make in the book for you know, asking for and receiving feedback also apply to working with an editor. And, you know, an editor really is, or at least should be, more than a critic with a red pen. You know, when I review your manuscript, I don't want to just tell you what's wrong with it. You know, most of my comments will be, you know, observations and suggestions, but it's really not about me putting my stamp on your work. That's not important to me. It's your work. What's important to me is that your work is dressed up as its best possible self. And sometimes that involves a wardrobe change or, you know, some different makeup or whatever. But it's not plastic surgery, and it's not, you know, it's not an indictment of your work and who you are. And it's very, very important to me that my clients understand that, because I can go in with the red pen and make all the corrections in the world, but if you don't understand them and you don't understand the necessity and you don't understand the process by which I arrived at those conclusions, then they're not going to be helpful to you in the long run. I think that part of the feedback process is really about making ourselves better writers. and engaging in that learning process in a really positive way.
And that's so important. And it's something that you just said a moment ago. It's dressing up the story. Your role, I guess, let me clarify. Your role is to make it the best it can be and guide them on the things that they don't know, because that's not their role. Their role is not as an editor. So you're there to support them in writing their best book, but not to change what they've written, the voice of what they've written. It's just to enhance the voice of what they've written.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And that's why I the plastic surgery example really applies here, is that, you know, there's a big difference between skillful makeup and plastic surgery. I do not need to go in and fundamentally alter your work, your words, your message. That's not necessary. But sometimes it's just a case of just choosing the right ways to dress things up and the right places to highlight. And then when your work is complete, it really shines and people's attention is drawn to the things that are most important and are most likely to create the change for your readers that you want to create.
It's so true. And one of the things I love about your book too, one of the many things I should say, is not only is it the first writing guide of its kind, it's this combination of addressing not only the physical process of creating an inspirational self-help or personal development book, but as we've been discussing throughout the show, but also the emotional and spiritual hurdles that block many writers from following their dreams. And I think that combination is so powerful, because if you don't deal with both, it prevents a lot of authors from moving forward and putting out a powerful, completed project to the world.
I agree. I feel like the balance between creativity and practicality, the balance between right brain and left brain, is absolutely vital for writers to cultivate. And many of us naturally lean sort of to one side or the other. And all that means is that we need practice cultivating the opposite. And the writing process is actually extremely balanced in terms of right brain, left brain, creative and practical. The part of the process of creating the first draft, where you're free writing and you're just letting your ideas pour onto the page, that is extremely creative. And if your nitpicky left brain gets a hold of it, it can actually stall or even stop the process. But once you get to revisions, you want that analytical side of your thinking to come forward. And so there are ways that you can help the side of yourself that you most need, that will most serve the current process. You can help bring that part of yourself forward and, you know, just ask for the assistance that you need when you need it. So maybe you need help shutting off your analytical brain and getting into a creative space. And certainly there are many, many exercises, meditations, and processes that can help with that. And if you need more help on the analytical side, then, you know, you go through your learning process, or you work with someone like me, and I can, you know, work from that analytical standpoint with you. So that's it requires that balance. And there are so many amazing teachers out there in the world of writing, but my observation is that they've kind of all been in one camp or the other. So you have amazing creative coaches, like, for example, Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way. Amazing material and amazing work to help writers get in touch with themselves and their blocks and really create in an empowered way. But there's not a lot of information in that work about how to structure something like a book, right? And then you have other people who are coaching people through the book writing process, but not necessarily offering a lot of support on the creative side. It's you know, a series of tasks, and when you accomplish those tasks, you have a book. And so without that balance, people tend to get stuck in one side or the other, has been my observation.
Well, I've discovered that too in with all the authors that we've worked with, and because I own Aspire Magazine, just the kind of content that comes in from that. And when we come back from our break, I want to talk about what you just brought up, because it's so important. You can't be just in your creative or analytical side, because it will affect the quality of the book.
And we'll be talking about this more when we return from our break. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ladies, your story has the power to transform lives. Four-time best-selling boutique publishing company, Inspired Living Publishing, is dedicated to sharing women's stories of hope, love, and transformation with the intention to inspire and empower their readers to believe in the power of possibility. Share your story in an upcoming print or Kindle project. Visit inspiredlivingpublishing.com today.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to Inspired Conversations. I am your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Brian and Renee Haynes. And right before the break, we were talking about the importance of having a balance as a writer between your creative spirit and the analytical side. And one of the things I've noticed, Brian, and you really just touched on it, is I have a lot of passionate, creative women in my global community. And if you ask them who they are, they will say, oh, I'm a creative spirit all the way. And they've also shared with me, the ones I've had conversations with, that their greatest struggle is, I just want to write and flow and put my heart on the page. And they really struggle because their mind's not, it's just not who they are, and I get that. They struggle with the analytical because now they just want to use their creative flow, throw something on a page, call it a book, and publish it. And what I've discovered is there's no structure when I read them. There's no structure. There's no path to lead the reader through. Now, I think it's great when someone is so creative and passionate, but that's what I see is so important to your formula, is you have to have the other side, or the structure, the flow, isn't going to connect with the reader because they don't know where you're taking them.
Exactly, exactly. And to me, creativity is a lot like water, right? So if you just pour water out of a pitcher onto the ground, it's going to spread out in a million different directions. It'll touch everything, but it won't have any form or structure or shape. If you pour water into a glass, if you have a structure, even a malleable structure like a balloon, you know, that can kind of be squished and moved around in different shapes and directions, right? The water is contained, and, you know, if you're directing that containment toward a purpose, it's very easy to understand that, oh, this is a water balloon. Oh, this is a glass of water. If the water is all over the floor with no structure, you can't point at that and say that's a water balloon or a glass of water. It's just water. And so when there's no structure in writing, it's just words. And some of those words might be powerful, some of those words might be evocative, and some of those words might spark an amazing connection with your reader, but it won't do so in a predictable or targeted or powerful way. And so that's why structure in writing is so important. It's not about holding back that creative fire, and it's certainly not about putting a lid on someone's passion or creative spirit. It's not about that at all. It's about giving that water a place to flow into that people can, A, immediately recognize, and, B, derive a useful benefit from. And so when I work with people from sort of the inception of their books, the first thing we do before we do any writing, before we do anything with the first draft is get a structure in place. And it doesn't have to be a rigid structure. It doesn't have to be even a very detailed structure. But knowing the end result that you want to create for your readers before you start writing gives your writing shape and direction. It provides those walls to contain that flow. And also, you know, another kind of visual piece is that when you pour water on the floor, it will always keep spreading out. It will never move upward. It will never rise. It will only keep spreading out until something contains it. And so when we, you know, pour our creative spirit into a container, it helps it rise. It helps it become deeper. And it helps it, you know, just be elevated in many ways. And so with no structure, you cannot have depth. And I think that's something that's really important to know. And for those people who are incredibly creative and that's the space that they work from, it's wonderful to be able to ask for help with that structure and to not feel like they've failed or that they're deficient somehow because that's not their skill set to create that structure. There are plenty of people out there whose skill set is structure or an organization. And to partner with someone like that who can provide that balance is a great way to be able to write in a comfortable and empowered and inspired way without feeling like you're shutting down because you have a place to pour that water already.
Oh, I just love the analogy that you use because I could really picture it. And when it comes down to it, we all have a desire to write a book because we want to make an impact, right? We want to make an impact in the reader's lives, especially those of us who are in the personal and spiritual development and inspirational genres that we want to touch and transform lives. So you've shared so much juicy content today. And one of the questions I want to ask you, too, as we close up are, we've discussed so much about writing the book and some of the tips and guidance you gave. We talked about your book. What are some of the benefits of writing a book and why you believe someone should even consider doing so?
Absolutely. Well, the first is actually, you know, something that you and I touched on earlier is about clarifying and codifying your process. It's a way for potential clients, customers, supporters to get to know you on a really deep level in a way that, you know, they can consistently return to. And because we all have limited hours in a day and you know, structures for our businesses, we can't work with every single person whose life we want to touch. And so a book can really offer that. And it allows, it's almost like a calling card in that it allows people to become familiar with your energy, your voice, your process without having to have, say, a 20-minute introductory call with you or without having to come to one of your workshops. And so it creates, you know, from a business standpoint, it can really create warm leads for people to work with you because once they've read your book, if they connect with your book, if they derive a lot of value from your book, they are much more likely to attend your workshops and work with you as a client in the future. Another reason is to establish yourself as an expert. And I'm sure all of you have noticed, most of the experts have books. And the mere fact that you have been able to create and publish a book is huge. Most people who start writing a book never finish it. It's something like 90%. It's a ridiculous number of people who start writing a book never finish it. And so the fact that you have persevered in this enormous task of creating something like a book actually speaks very highly to your potential for success. So not only does the material help to establish you as an expert in your chosen field, but the very fact that you've created something on this scale can also speak very well to your capabilities.
Oh, I think I agree with everything you just described. And as you know, that's what one of my That's really what my mission is. I work with heart-centered entrepreneurial women, coaches, health practitioners, visionaries, to use their book, their story, as a way to elevate their brand and their visibility. And so everything we've talked about today really ties into everything that they experienced, and all the, you know, women that we've worked with. They had a struggle through their visibility issues that we talked about earlier, you know, that fear of being seen. And once they did, like we said, it rippled out across everything to do with their business. And then when that book is released to the world and they start getting feedback from the readers, it is so validating, and I'm using their words, so validating to know that when you put yourself out there to get that kind of feedback is, I don't know, I think it just validates what your mission and message is. And a lot of us don't need that outside validation, right, because we know what we're here to do. But when you receive it, it's like a universal pat on the shoulder. And I'm sure you've heard that just from the authors you've worked with over the last 10 years of, when I heard from one of my readers that, you know, something I wrote touched them or inspired them to change a part of their lives, it's so powerful.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you're right. The outside validation is it's a tremendous pat on the back. And regardless of, you know, whether we do need it or don't need it, it still feels amazing to be able to touch people's lives. And when you're in a service-based business or healing field or any kind of service-based modality, that is the biggest validation that you can receive, is that your work is doing what you intended it to do. And it's just so beautiful to see that and to see how it encourages people who have written books, who have touched these lives, how it encourages them to even step out in a bigger way. And, you know, some people use their books, and this is something that I forgot to mention earlier, but some people do use their books as platforms for other types of services, like, you know, creating an online course based on the book, or creating a workshop based on the book, or, you know, using the book as a basis for connecting with people on multiple levels. And it's an open door. It's a doorway to step through, and you just don't know what kind of amazing things are going to be waiting on the other side.
Oh, it's so true, and we know it from our own experience. And I want to invite everyone, as my time with Bryna comes to an end, if you have a calling in your heart, if you're looking for the support to write a book, visit Bryna at theheartofwriting.com. And when you get there, her blog is amazing, but she also has a free resource library, and it's designed for inspired writers just like you, and it's always expanding, so get on over there. There's lots of juicy content for you. And of course, pick up a copy of her book, The Art of Inspiration. You'll find the link on her website. And Bryna, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Linda. This has been really wonderful.
And I want to thank everyone for joining me for Inspired Conversations. Listen in every Tuesday at 2 p.m. for more conversations with visionary women who are here to share their feminine wisdom to support you in living your best life. For even more inspiration, be sure to claim your free subscription to Aspire Magazine, which includes over 40 transformational gifts. You can do that at subscribe2aspire.com. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic,